We also continue this afternoon with our series on politics with the experts from ASRI to ensure our listeners make informed decisions when they come to vote on the 8th of May, inshallah. The three big parties contesting this year's elections are the ANC, DA and the EFF. And we take a look at the manifesto of the DA this afternoon whilst also unpacking their performance. And on the line, we welcome ASRI's Imran Bakas. Imran, jazakallah khairan for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam and thanks for having me.
In a nutshell, can you highlight the top five issues from the DA's manifesto, Imran?
Well, I think perhaps the first point to make is that while we talk a lot about manifestos, the reality is that very few people actually read manifestos. And I think sometimes we overestimate the impact that manifestos will have on voting itself. And I think this point has been made by others also. To the DA's credit, I think its manifesto is perhaps less ambitious than the EFF, but it also has a sort of shopping list. And I think top amongst them is the focus on education. The DA talks about training 15,000 teachers per year. It talks about ensuring that schooling environments become conducive to learning. It talks about increasing the NSFAS budget, and it talks about creating 1 million internship opportunities. Now, while all of that might be really noble, I think manifestos, by their very nature, lack the detail. Then it also talks about corruption. I think we've acknowledged in South Africa that corruption is perhaps the number one threat to our democracy, number one threat to our development, to our security. It's really an issue that everyone talks about. And I think the DA is capitalizing on that. It's talking about saving 30 billion rand a year by cutting corruption. It talks about speeding up housing and making the housing corruption less. It's also talking about preventing government ministers from doing work with business. So that's arguably the second, most important part of the manifesto. They then talk importantly, I think, about jobs and business. We know in South Africa that 50% of South Africans are under 30 and the vast majority are unemployed and desperately poor. And that's a huge challenge for the country. So in that context, the DA talks about creating 7 million jobs in terms of an expanded public works program. And in context, that would mean jobs for younger people. And I think the added challenge we have in the country is that that's a very unskilled worker base. So, while these jobs are to be welcomed and the attempt by the DA to create these jobs and talk about creating these jobs are to be welcomed, the reality is that these jobs will be very temporary jobs and they're not sustainable. The DA also talks about breaking up state monopolies, supporting small businesses. I don't think it's very clear on informal trade. Informality in Africa and in South Africa is a very big part of our economy. So perhaps less detail on that. And it talks about creating a nation of entrepreneurs, which I think is a welcomed suggestion in the manifesto. But again, having the detail on how that would be done would be very worthwhile. The other thing many South Africans talk about is security, crime in the country. The DA talks about that also. It talks about 250,000 properly trained police officers. It talks about fighting gangsterism. All of that is part of its manifesto. Mm-hmm. And then maybe fifthly, the economy, which all of us would agree is really important. It talks about investing 10% of its GDP in infrastructure. Road, railways, etc., kind of making the point, not in the manifesto, but in its broader critique, that the ANC is not doing a good enough job of maintaining the infrastructure. I think, for me, controversially, it talks about keeping corporate taxes low. The corporate sector would obviously welcome that, but I think that might be a controversial point where, in a country as unequal as ours, where we are trying to, lessen the wealth gap, the context in which we talk about keeping tax for the wealthy low is perhaps something that should be revisited. And I think importantly, it's talking about simplifying import-export tariffs, making it easier to do business. You know, the thing about the DA is it's a party whose economic policies, we know from the past, favor the free market. It favors foreign investment along with rolling back worker protection. And, you know, so it's not surprising that the DA manifesto is sort of couched in the language that it is. And it's no surprise the DA, which is a pro-free market party, although acknowledging, I think, in recent times, the need for state intervention. So its manifesto comes as no real surprise.
Mm-hmm. Imran, as you mentioned, that it's not so ambitious as the EFF's manifesto. Having said that, do you think that the DA would be able to fulfill the promises made in this manifesto, or it's just a big fuss?
No, well, I think all parties that create manifestos know full well that they're not going to be able to deliver on it. I mean, you know, the EFF talks about having orthodontists in schools. You know, not in one's wildest imagination would you be able to achieve that. I think the DA's manifesto is perhaps a more reasonable one. But clearly it's not going to be able to do it. But I think, you know, manifestos are really about attracting huge crowds to the launch. It's about getting us, like we are doing now, to talk about it in the media, attracting attention to the party. Because like I said at the start, people don't really read manifestos. And I think everyone knows that in some ways it's a wishing list, and parties are not really able to meet what they put in the manifesto, like creating a million internships. You know, unless we see a clear plan of how this is going to be done, I think it makes it less believable.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the BEE. The DA stance on BEE seems to be problematic even within the party itself.
Yeah, you have to understand the DA has two distinct camps. I think it has an old guard, mainly white, that wants to speak to that constituency that would in some ways be opposed to BEE. And then you have a new emerging black leadership in the DA, which is a sort of new class, very refreshing leadership in the DA that's perhaps more alive to the realities of race, identity, issues of affirmation, issues of redistribution. So I think in that context, the DA's ambivalent approach to black economic empowerment is also understandable. Whether to keep BEE in some form or to reject it completely has always been problematic for the DA. Because remember that this is traditionally a liberal party. And in that context of liberalism, they often de-emphasize race. And they prefer in their manifesto even to stress, they call it the moral imperative to redress the stark inequalities that remain all pervasive in South Africa. So it doesn't really mention race. So the DA's BEE policy seems to be one that de-emphasizes race in favor of means testing. And it wants companies to be awarded significant points in simplified broad-based black economic empowerment. I think broadly the point I'm making is the DA doesn't really know what it wants, because it has two, you know, very different constituencies that it has to appeal to. On the one hand, it wants to attract the black vote in order for its own growth. On the other hand, it has to appease its historical constituency, which is mainly white, and which is likely to be opposed to black economic empowerment. So it does take a problematic position, an ambivalent position, a confused position.
Mm. And also the topical issue in the country, which is also at everybody's discussion table, the land issue. Now, we know the DA's stance is you cannot do land expropriation without compensation. Has this costed them in terms of votes?
Well, again, it's going to be an ambivalent position, because on the one hand, if you want to attract the black vote, if you want more and more black people to vote for your party, then you need to be articulating a position that's in some ways supportive of expropriation. The DA has chosen to go the other route of saying it doesn't support expropriation. And it's hard to tell, but my gut sense is it's not going to cost the DA too many votes. Because remember, the DA wants to appeal in part to this black emerging voter constituency, but at the same time it wants to keep its historical constituency intact. So, you know, whether to keep BEE in some form or to reject it completely is a source of contention in the DA. It's something that it's also confused about. But I think the fact that it appeals to a middle-class constituency largely, and this middle-class constituency is very concerned, is very afraid, is very worried about land expropriation. In some ways, it could even attract votes to the DA because it takes a position that's very different from the ANC, and it takes a position that's equally different from the EFF in terms of land expropriation.
Now, let's look at the performance of the DA in the province they govern compared to the rest of the country that's under the ANC rule and control. How has the performance been?
Well, if you look at the graph from 94, the DA has gone from virtually very few votes to 9, to 16, to 22 in the last local government election. And indications initially that was the DA will reach 25 or even more in the forthcoming election. But we know that there are a number of internal contradictions in the DA. There are a number of internal fights. We know they've handled a number of situations really badly, including the Patricia de Lille fiasco in the Western Cape, the Nelson Mandela fiasco, etc. And some polls are suggesting that there would be a drop in support for the Democratic Alliance. But I think we can't really go by polls because they change. They are always questions about the methodology used, etc. My sense would be that the DA would see an increase in its support, but I don't think substantial at all.
Mm-hmm. Imran, jazakallah khairan for your time. Much appreciated on Radio Islam International.
No problem. Pleasure.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.